Acts 2 through the whole chapter. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of them is speaking to us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts from Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miraculous signs and wonders, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's great purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made it known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. His body was raised, this Jesus, to life. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what we now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for my feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
This evening, you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to preach on all 47 verses, verse by verse. I would like to go to bed at some point this evening. I think if we did that, we'd still be here tomorrow. But this evening, I'm just going to pick out a few things from this passage, things for us today, and things that help us to see this big story of what God is doing. And you'll see at the minute that we're in a sermon series thinking about the big story of God, how the wider story of the Bible fits together. We're thinking about that in six parts. And first, we have them on the screen. So the first one we looked at was creation, a good creation. We looked at Genesis. We then continued in Genesis. We looked at naked and ashamed, about the fall and how we were separated from God. We thought about promise and purpose, the covenant God made with Abraham. Last week, we looked at Jesus as everything. We were talking about what is the gospel message within Scripture. And that's really the hinge point for all of this big story. Today we're looking at where the Spirit comes, the birth of the early church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And next week, the last in the series, we're going to look at what our part is to play in the story and how the church is to take the good news to the whole world. So that's where we've been and where we're going. And this evening, we're going to just look at a few things from this passage. And I'm actually going to ask Linda to come up again towards the end of my talk to come and share something with us. I love this passage of scripture. I think it's one of my many favourite bits of the Bible. But sometimes when I've heard this passage preached on, it's almost as if this is the first time we've heard about the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Sometimes it feels like that the moments when the heavens opened up here and the Holy Spirit came upon the earth, that helper that God had promised, it was the first time we see the Holy Spirit in the Bible. But I think actually if we look at it, look across the whole of Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit at work in so many different places. And I want to go back just for a moment to Act 1 and to creation, to that first week of this series. And if you were here for that evening, you remember that I spoke, I think it was me speaking in the evening that week, I spoke about the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all being part of creation. And there are so many examples of other things the Holy Spirit does before we get to this moment in Pentecost. I just want to name a few of those. It was just to help us see that big picture of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. So the Spirit gives life to humanity and other creatures. We see that in Psalm 104. God blesses people with life by breathing into their nostrils, it says, the breath of life in Genesis 2:7. And the word for breath is actually often the same word that we see translated here and when we're talking about the wind of God, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The Spirit came upon certain people in Scripture, on judges, upon warriors and prophets, in a way that gave them extraordinary power. Examples of that can be Joshua in Numbers 27, Gideon in Judges 6, Samson and Saul. It's interesting we see that Saul, the Spirit later departed from Saul because of Saul's disobedience. I find that quite interesting. The Spirit obviously played such a prominent role, didn't it, in the prophecies that we see. And David declared, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." Likewise, we see Ezekiel reported that the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. The Spirit was speaking through people throughout all of Scripture. And the other thing I think we see is the Spirit inspires holiness in the Old Testament believers. It tells us that in Psalm 143, verse 10. And the Scripture promised that God would put his Spirit in people in a way that would cause them to live according to his laws. I think those are just a few examples. There could be so, so many more. But they help us to see that the Spirit has been at work throughout right at the beginning of the Bible and will be at work right to the very end of time. We also see a lot of the Spirit at work in the New Testament before we get to this day of Pentecost, don't we? I think the best example, my favourite example, is this dove descending at Jesus' baptism. The Spirit, like a dove, coming upon Jesus, commissioning him ready for the ministry that he's about to take. So if we see the Holy Spirit at work throughout all of Scripture and up to this point, well, there was obviously something that's been different here and now in this passage, something that's changed. So as these disciples met in Jerusalem, there came a sound like that mighty rushing wind from heaven, and resting upon them something that resembled tongues of fire, and they began to speak in different languages, and they were accused of being drunk. What was different here from the work of the Spirit before this? Well, I think the clue for this is actually in the text. Peter recites this prophecy from Joel. It's an amazing bit of scripture, and we looked with our young adults last weekend a little bit at this on our weekend away. And it's this verse in particular, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." These were those last days, and they still are today. At that moment, at Pentecost, God was sending his Spirit, no longer just on a set few chosen people, but upon all people who believed in him. The Spirit was now at work in a new way amongst God's people. The Spirit had a new work to do. He was still going to be involved in the work of creation. The Holy Spirit will always be involved in the work of creation. The Holy Spirit still speaks through people today, bringing prophecy. But now he's also going to convict the world of sin, bear witness to who Jesus is, intercede on our behalf, pour out gifts upon all God's people, and dwell in the hearts of those who believe that Jesus is Lord. And in this passage, we see these two amazing images for what the Holy Spirit looked like when it came upon the disciples. And this is what Simon spoke about so well this morning. So I'm going to speak about it again actually this evening, but I encourage you to have a listen back to this morning's sermon as well. So as we've read, the Spirit came like a wind. Not literal wind, but like a wind. It was the Holy Spirit. Luke makes this very clear to us that this wasn't just a natural thing, a natural wind that was blowing through, but it was something supernatural because it came from heaven. We've experienced quite a lot of wind lately, haven't we? And I mean weather wind, not the other kind of wind. We've experienced some really interesting weather. The storms that we've had over the last few weeks have shown us, haven't they, just how powerful wind can be. We saw pits of buildings flying off. I'm sure everyone's seen the video on Facebook, haven't they, of the View Cinema losing its roof, almost landing on that car. There's been trees falling down all over the place. And I think I loved going out in the storm and in that wind because there's just a real energy, isn't there? It's amazing to try and walk in it. I tried to cycle in it one day, which was a bit of an error. And but it's this amazing life and this energy that comes when the wind is blowing like that. And this is the image of that wind at Pentecost. It speaks of God's power and of God's life, the power and life that it brings. It was the Holy Spirit here empowering the church for what was to come. He was equipping them for all that God had planned for them. He was breathing into them a new life that was going to help them rapidly grow from this small group to a church that reaches across the entire earth. It was the power of God. It was the church having that public enabling of the power of God's power to do its ministry. And then we see that the Spirit rested upon them. My Bible says it's like divided tongues of fire. And again, it's not literal fire, but it was the Spirit, the one that was resting on them. But it appeared to them like fire. God as fire is such a common image in the Bible, isn't it? Simon this morning spoke of the God appearing to Moses in the burning bush and the presence of God being there on that holy ground. I think fire is something that's such a familiar image to those disciples when they saw those tongues of fire. We can think of maybe the fire appearing on Mount Sinai in the thunder and smoke to Moses and the people there. The pillar of fire that led Israel through the desert by night. Presence of God being amongst them. But we also have this image of fire being about cleansing, don't we? When the Israelites offered something up to God, offered a sacrifice for their sin, it was burnt up, it was a burnt offering. And that aroma and that burning went up to God. We see stories of God sending fire and destruction and judgment upon groups of people, removing sin and disobedience. And the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 is this picture of this holy presence, this fire of God falling upon them. But it doesn't burn them up. It rests upon them. The presence of God is now tangible to them. The presence of God dwells in their hearts. It's got the power to still bring destruction because it's the same God, the same Holy Spirit. But it doesn't. Instead, that fire cleanses them. And the Holy Spirit brings that work of sanctification. We see from this wind and this fire, the coming of the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in different tongues. And again, I think this just shows us that the Holy Spirit was now for all people, for every person from every nation, anyone who believes in Jesus. And again, it's just emphasizing what Peter's going to say through the prophet Joel. Now, you might be sitting here thinking that this passage is so encouraging that it inspires you to go out and pray for people, to prophesy, to see miracles. You're just waiting for the time of ministry to come when we lay hands and pray shabba dabba dabba dabba. Or my favourite one is, she came in a Honda, I'll have a Shandy. I think that was Mike Pilavarci, he used to say that one. And I've lost my train of thought now. For some of you, you might be thinking, well, I've never experienced the Holy Spirit, anything like that. I've never experienced the physical presence of God, the wind or fire. I've never heard anyone speak in another language from God, let alone one that anyone's understood. And that's okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to watch a short video together that explains a little bit about what the Holy Spirit is doing when he comes upon us. And it's going to explain a little bit about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. So let's watch that together now.
love is the greatest thing in the world. Love is what the Christian faith is all about. If you ask me for a synonym for the Holy Spirit, the word I would choose is love. Love is the very purpose of our lives. What the Holy Spirit does and brings to our lives is all about love. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. Paul says if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes to people who are already Christians in Ephesus and he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The original Greek he uses there is in the present continuous tense. It means go on being filled over and over and over again. So it's possible to be a Christian and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. I sometimes use this analogy. We have an old gas boiler with a pilot light. Pilot light's always on. But when the heat comes on, the boiler goes... And some Christians are kind of like pilot light Christians. And other Christians are kind of... Christians. And you can tell the difference when you meet one. So, what's it like to experience the Holy Spirit?
Whatever the Holy Spirit touches, the Holy Spirit changes. So it is normal that experiencing the Holy Spirit will bring some changes, even in our feelings, in our emotions, in our way of expressing ourselves. St. Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians, don't be drunk with alcohol, with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So somehow he says that the effect of the coming of the Holy Spirit are like being intoxicated. This is a very special kind of intoxication which makes people stable, trembling. It's normal that when we first approach the Holy Spirit, that there should be a reaction of our laughter or tears or jumping for joy or speaking in tongues.
I want to encourage you, if you've never seen all of the Alpha Holy Spirit videos, to go home and watch them, or come and join Alpha this coming week. As they think about what the Holy Spirit is today and how we can be filled with the Spirit. I think maybe for some of us watching that, we've just maybe had like a bit of a penny drop maybe. We think, actually, we've given our lives to Christ, but yet we've not actually been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've experienced life with Jesus, but you're waiting for that fire to come. I think this evening, for some of you, God might want to light the boiler, like Nicky Gumbel says, and to be set on fire and set alive, ready to go and live out what God is calling you to do. Maybe for some of you, the videos pointed to something else. There's one thing within that video for me that really resonates of my own experience of the Holy Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit being about love. See, when I experience the Holy Spirit in a tangible way, I feel the love of God in a way that is so special and real. My body becomes all tingly, and I get this lovely, warm, fuzzy feeling, and I get this sense of the complete love of God for me, and a complete peace which passes all understanding, something I could never naturally experience, but only through the Holy Spirit. It makes no logical sense at all. It has to be something of God. I remember really vividly, actually, the first time someone prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit and experience God in that kind of physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I was about 7 years old, I was exactly 7 years old because I remember what it was. I was at a Christian conference called Faith Camp. Has anyone ever been to Faith Camp? Yeah, a few people, good. And it's funny, actually, I was saying to Duncan a few months ago, I actually recognised Duncan when I arrived at St. Giles, so I think I'd seen him at Faith Camp, which is really funny. I was in Power Pack, the venue, and they'd begun to pray, and I'd walked over to the side of the room to try and avoid being prayed for, and someone just came and very quickly laid a hand and prayed on me, and I began to feel such a heavy weight come across all my body. And it was like, I felt like there was something moving and bristling around the room, like someone was breathing heavily upon us. And I moved over to a pillar. It was in a marquee, and I had to prop myself up against the pillar. And eventually, I collapsed under the weight of it on the floor. And it was the presence and the glory of God. I couldn't stand under the weight of the presence and the glory of God. It probably looked like I was drunk to those around me, but it was just the presence of God. And there'll be so many other stories from people here who've experienced the Holy Spirit in so many different ways. And each one of them is important. Each one of them is valid. And God meets us in a way that we know, that he knows we need to be met. Because remember, God is our creator. He knows you intimately. He knows you better than anyone else. He knows you better than you know yourself. And God meets us in the way that we need to be met. And just before the service, I was making a cup of green tea because I was getting a bit thirsty. And I was with Linda, and I was just saying, oh, you've got a long Bible reading coming up, all 47 verses. And she just began to share a little story with me. And are you okay to come and share that now, Linda? Thank you.
Yes, my experience of the Holy Spirit took me totally by surprise. It was back in the 70s, and I was invited to a casual prayer evening, a home group. And I was sitting on the sofa with other women, and we started to pray. And I thought, my mind was not on anything like the Holy Spirit. It was just, they were taking it in turns to pray. And I was thinking about, we were holding hands, and I was thinking about, well, when it comes to my turn, what am I going to pray about? And I thought, right, I know my sister had an accident and the car was written off, but they were all okay. And I thought, oh, thank God for that. And then suddenly, I thought, that's it. I know what I'm going to pray about. But the Lord had other ideas. Suddenly, I became burning hot, really hot, so hot that I removed my hands from the other ladies that I was on the sofa with, and I had my eyes shut. And then suddenly I had a sensation of being lifted up out of the... Well, in fact, I thought, I'm going to hit my head on the ceiling in a minute. And then suddenly I started to travel at phenomenal speed. I can't describe it, but in my mind's eye, with my eyes shut, I just travelled at phenomenal speed, and I could see the earth disappearing, just literally disappearing till it was a tiny little ball, and I was quite shaking and tearful. And then I heard the Lord say to me in my right ear, Linda, open your eyes. I wouldn't, because I was afraid I was going to fall. I just thought, the moment I open my eyes, I'm just going to tumble back down. But eventually he said a second time, Linda, open your eyes. And I obeyed. And I was just totally amazed to see I was still on the sofa. But when I looked across the room to the other people sitting around who'd been praising with their guitars, and just, it was just like looking through a bonfire with heat waves. If you're in the garden and you look at the hedges beyond the bonfire, they're just shimmering in the heat. And that was what I saw, just shimmering heat. And I was just in this burning, shimmering experience, which totally took me over. And I was very obviously tearful, but it changed me. And I know that from that moment, I've never been able to be quiet about Jesus. I talk to him, to anybody who'll bother to listen, and even people who are fed up with listening. But, you know, the Lord just put a fire in me, and whenever I'm talking about him, I just feel this bubbling coming up within me, and it's just been a wonderful gift that he gave me, and I thanked him all my life. It's kept me steady when things have tried to push me aside from God, but that experience has kept me, and I thank the Lord for it.
Isn't that amazing? Thank you. Brilliant, isn't it? I just want to pick up, actually, to finish on something that Linda's just said, and actually this was said as well in that video by Father Raniero, I think that's how you pronounce it, he's the Pope's preacher. Both those stories weren't they? When the Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit fills us up, things change. That day when I felt the Spirit come upon me, I knew that things changed in my life. I felt the tangible presence of God, and I knew that things were going to change. And here in this passage, we know that so much changed after the disciples experienced the Holy Spirit in that way. The story of Acts, it wouldn't make sense at all, would it, if this chapter was missing? It'd be completely bonkers. But the life-giving, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples and changed them. It equipped them ready for the task that lay ahead. They tapped into that supernatural power that God had for them. It was the Holy Spirit that led them, that equipped them, that gave them the authority to speak, that gave them the authority to cast out demons, to give them that boldness and that courage. They went in that day from the 120 people to 3,000. It's amazing, isn't it? It was the Holy Spirit in that moment that empowered them for everything that was to come. And we see that's why we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." And why we want to be filled with the Spirit, why we want God's Holy Spirit to manifest himself within us, why we want to see signs and wonders, because it's when we see the Holy Spirit come in that way that the Spirit changes us. You can't meet with God in that way and not be changed. See, we don't want to experience God just for the sake of it, just to be bumped up and to be nice about it and to be, "Oh, it's good, I've met with God." But we want to meet with God so that we're changed to become more like him, so we can equip us to go and share the love of Jesus with others, to go and see our church grow from the 60-odd people we hear here this evening to the 3,000 that it talks about in Scripture. That's why we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Why we want the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up, to change us, to send us out, to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus, to go and see him at work in the lives of others, to see him grow us as a community. We want to be agents of change in the places that we live and in the families that we have. And it's the Holy Spirit that equips us and enables us to do that. And that's what we see here in this passage, isn't it? Not only did it change what they were doing, it changed the way they live as well, didn't it? They shared all that they had. They shared lives together. They broke bread together. And all of that was enabled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what led to those 3,000 people being saved that day. The Holy Spirit coming and filling them up. So that's our prayer for us today, is the Holy Spirit would come and bring about that change in our life. Continue the change in our life. I know there'll be many of us here who've experienced the change of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us afresh. We want that to continue. We need to continually come to God, to ask him to come and fill us up, to continually change us, to become more like Jesus, to continually give us more confidence in who God has made us to be. I think we're just going to have a moment of quiet now. Lord, we just pray this day, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us? Help us to experience you afresh. Lord, change us to become more like Jesus. Give us that confidence to go and share your love with others. See your Holy Spirit change the lives of others. Just pray, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come and bless us and come and fill us now."